Myler's mother impatiently, coming to see for herself. "Who would telegraph now that Hannah's dead?" Lucretia was short and dumpy, with the comfortable, patient look of the maiden aunt that knows she is indispensable because she will meekly take all the burdens that no one else wants to bear. Her sister could easily look over her head into the hall, and her gaze was penetrative and alert. "I'm sure I don't know, Carrie," said Lucretia apprehensively, "but I'm all of a tremble. Telegrams are dreadful things."
"Nonsense, Crete, you always act like such a baby. Hurry up, Luella, don't stop to read it. Your Aunt Crete will have a fit. Wasn't there anything to pay? Who is it for?"
Luella, a rather stout young woman in stylish attire, with her mother's keen features unsoftened by sentiment, advanced, irreverently tearing open her mother's telegram and reading it as she came. It was one of the family grievances that Luella was stout like her aunt instead of tall and slender like her mother. The aunt always felt secretly that they somehow blamed her for being of that type.
"It makes one so hard to fit,"
Luella's mother remarked frequently, and adding with a disparaging glance at her sister's dumpy form,
"so impossible."
At such times the aunt always wrinkled up her pleasant little forehead into a V upside down, and trotted off to her kitchen or her buttonholes, or whatever was the present task, sighing helplessly. She tried to be the best that she could always, but one couldn't help one's figure, especially when one was partly dependent on one's family for support, and dressmakers and tailors took so much money. It was bad enough to have one stout figure to fit in the family without two, and the aunt always felt called upon to have as little dressmaking done as possible in order that Luella's figure might be improved from the slender treasury. "Clothes do make a big difference," she reflected. And sometimes, when she was all alone in the twilight, and there was really nothing that her alert conscience could possibly put her hand to doing for the moment, she amused herself by thinking what kind of dress she would buy, and who should make it, if she should suddenly attain a fortune. But this was a harmless amusement, inasmuch as she never let it make her discontented with her lot, or ruffle her placid brow for an instant. But just now she was all of a tremble, and the V in her forehead was rapidly becoming a double V. She watched Luella's dismayed face with growing alarm.
"For goodness sakes alive," said Luella,
flinging herself into the most comfortable rocker, and throwing her mother's telegram on the table.
"That's not to be tolerated. Something'll have to be done. We'll have to go to the shore at once, mother. I should die of mortification to have a country cousin come around just now. What would the Grandons think if they saw him? I can't afford to ruin all my chances for a cousin I've never seen. Mother, you simply must do something. I won't stand it."
"What in the world are you talking about, Luella?" said her mother impatiently. "Why didn't you read the telegram aloud, or why didn't you give it to me at once? Where are my glasses?" The aunt waited meekly while her sister found her glasses and read the telegram.
"Well, I declare, that is provoking to have him turn up just now of all times. Something must be done, of course. We can't have a gawky Westerner around in the way. And, as you say, we've never seen him. It can't make much difference to him whether he sees us or not. We can hurry off and be conveniently out of the way. It's probably only a duty visit he's paying, anyway. Hannah's been dead 10 years, and I always heard the child was more like his father than his mother. Besides, Hannah married and went away to live when I was only a little girl. I really don't think Donald has much claim on us. What a long telegram! It must have cost a lot. Was it paid for? It shows he knows nothing of the world, or he would have put it in a few words. Well, we'll have to get away at once."
She crumpled the telegram into a ball and flung it to the table again, but it fell wide of its mark and dropped to the floor instead. The aunt patiently stooped and picked it up, smoothing out the crushed yellow paper. "Hannah's boy," she said gently, and she touched the yellow paper as if it had been something sacred. "I'm taking a trip east, and shall make you a little visit, if convenient. We'll be with you some time on Thursday. Donald Grant." She sat down suddenly in the nearest chair. Somehow the relief from anxiety had made her knees weak. "Hannah's boy," she murmured again, and laid her hand caressingly over the telegram, smoothing down a torn place in the edge of